You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contests with huge cash prizes up for grabs. This week is jam-packed with action ranging from basketball to golf, and DraftKings has plenty of ways for you to have a front row seat to all the action. Making a lineup for DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. Just draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Each player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap, and then sit back and watch your points pile up. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 2, Episode 21, as the New York Rangers fall to the New Jersey Devils after a two-plus weeks hiatus where they really haven't been able to get on the... That was the actual Devils who went on a two-and-a-half-week break, came back, and just slaughtered the New York Rangers. You know, outworked them, outpaced them, beat them in every zone of the ice, and totally ruined my Wednesday night. Andy, how are you doing?
Not good. I am
Tuesday night.
Not
I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'm not, like you said, there's no, every, and it was floating around social media. Listen, there's no excuse. And even hell, even the post game, even the Valiquette, and who's usually, you know, tries to paint a nice silver lining for everyone. He was clearly not pleased with their performance, as he should be, because there is no excuse. There's, you know, even if you lost the game, that's not what I'm talking about. There's no excuse to not play harder than a team that hasn't been on the ice and is coming back from COVID. They literally, the only players I saw pushing the pace was our bottom six, who is the only source of our offense right now, first of all. The Rangers offense right now. And even you see their limitations, but you see what they're getting just based on effort out of very little skill. Even guys like Howden, who I've harped on the past, at least he looks like he's trying. And then our Kako and Lafreniere are trying to get something going. Kako's been our best skater this season, hands down, and he just doesn't have the counting numbers to show for it. But every time he's on the ice, he's pushing, he's back checking, he's turning the puck over. You know, he's creating turnovers for his team. He's bringing it the other way. He's doing everything. He just can't score. But for the most part, when our veterans, the guys who have been here, who keep giving the same platitudes in the post game after every loss with their head in their hands and not being able to, they say they can't figure it out. Well, what can you figure out? You don't have to be, you know, Sherlock Holmes to figure out some of the biggest problems is compete level. Even if you lose, but it looks like you were pushing, like at least you can hang your head on that, but you can't. And listen, a lot of the problems right now, there's a litany of things wrong with this team, which we're going to get into over the course of this podcast. But I mean, that's the biggest thing, is just watching the same guys give the same canned answers after every loss and then coming out looking no different the next game. You know, Kreider, Zibanejad, you know, Strome, Trouba, you know, the older guys on this team, the vets, I can't believe I'm saying those guys are the vets, but yeah, something stinks. There's something rotten on this team. And right now it's looking like it's those guys. So yeah, I'm not happy. And I'm sure we're going to deep dive into this and try to really suss out what is happening.
Well, I think the Rangers community and the Rangers fans out there are split into two. There's two people that think that, you know, we are, you know, on track, we're rebuilding, and, you know, these are the pains and struggles that a team must go through And then there's that of the, you know, the group where I think I fall into, where, yes, there will be struggles when you rebuild, but these aren't the struggles. Effort shouldn't be the struggle. Your top six effort or leadership shouldn't be questioned. The coaching decisions, like, it should be, you should be rewarded if you're playing hard. And if you're not, then you get sat. And you look at, like, our top players, like Mika Zibanejad and, you know, even Panarin at the beginning of the season, Strom, Kreider, they're not really producing at the pace of which, you know, it was to be expected. But guess what? Panarin kind of figured it out because he's an elite player in this league. Mika Zibanejad, like, once again, goose eggs across the board. He had he took a weird penalty that, you know, I don't it was questionable whether it should have been called, but it was called, which made it a bad penalty. He had four shots on goal, but if you look at his shots, they're not goal scoring chances. They're from the outside. They're fluky shots. And listen, I'm all about throwing the puck on net because anything can happen. But, you know, there's got to be a purpose and meaning to everything you do out on the ice. And, you know, some players are more of a, you know, I need to be hands-on. I need to get into the game. I give a hit, take a hit, get in early. And then there's other guys that, you know, get out of their funk when, you know, they, you know, finally get a bounce off their butt. And you know, as Booch last night pulled the monkey off of his back. But, you know, there's got to be some sort of change. And there hasn't been. And we've been talking, like, I feel like we're on repeat every single podcast because it's the same thing with the Rangers. There's zero effort either out of the gate, or we have a great start to the game and then we collapse in the third period. And something's got to give here. And I don't know whether it's personnel or a coaching change. I, for one, think is honestly Quinn doing that great of a job? Because according to Vince and a lot of the, you know, a lot of people on Twitter that, you know, do have a voice in the Rangers world, you know, they actually believe in Quinn. They think Quinn's doing a great job. And then you have the other half that's like, you know, it might not be the answer. And this is where I fall in. You know, the coaching change might not be the actual answer, but it changes something because this is not good. This is not good hockey. The Rangers are not developing their players in the right environment. And, you know, it's starting to show. It's starting to get really scary here because, you know, the lack of effort and the enthusiasm to play this game is not there. And it showed last night. And last night was the worst loss, I think, in two seasons for this squad.
Well, the biggest thing, and I was harping on it, I think our last five podcasts, but every time this team is looking for answers, but, like, the sentiment between is Quinn Mr. Right or Mr. Right now, I can maybe understand that. But the problem is we look at these teams that have had trouble establishing just any sort of postseason success, whether it's the Oilers for years until getting McDavid. Hell, even in their first season, you know, there was no success there. But it's just there. Yeah, I think that's the biggest worry, is that you don't want the Rangers to just because they're developing. Like, I understand, like, it's a balancing act because, you know, you're trying to bring up your promising young players without totally exposing them and letting them get shelled every night, which I understand. You're not going to instantly put these guys on the first line. And you're also partially trying to win games so that you don't get this culture of losing around. But the problem is that's exactly what's happening right now. Like, I'm obviously stoked by the way Kako is playing. I think Lafreniere looks way better than Kako did last year, despite Kako actually still putting up some goals and points assists last year. The whole team is ice cold. And I mean, listen, I think I'm not usually one to agree with Larry Brooks, but he kind of nailed it with his article, you know, that came out in the wee hours, you know, this early this morning, in that even if you think that it's, like you said, coaching might not be the most paramount problem of this team. It can be a litany of things. It can be construction, the fact that they've shipped out more NHL, you know, level talent than they have brought in the offseason. Like, I get it. But some of this has to come back to Quinn. And it's just, it's always an effort thing. It's always like, it would be one thing if they were the better team and just Blackwood was big and they lost a one goal game again, but they that defense that we've at least been like, well, at least they're playing better defensively, was non-existent last night. So they were poor defensively. And I don't want to hear about injuries in this stat. Like, you know, it's one thing. No one expected them to be able to score as many goals with Panarin, because considering how ice cold they've been. But the fact that the one thing they've had to hang their hat on was non-existent, that's a problem. And their effort was a problem again. And just they could have, you know, obviously you felt the Devils were going to probably most likely come out flying at first because they haven't been on the ice and they're going to have that boost of adrenaline. They're like, they understand they have to, like, they have to get off to a good start. And they did. They were the better team early in the first. And that's, you know, credit to Lindy Ruff for making sure they were ready to do that. And credit to the players for, you know, buying into that. But after the tide had turned, the Rangers really didn't just start slowly putting the pedal down on them. You know, you figured that their wind would be the problem for the Devils, but they never really. And yeah, I mean, that second period was much better for the Rangers, clearly. But how come every time we score a goal, we immediately give up a chance on the next shift because they settle in and get so comfortable? Why does that happen every time? Like, these are the type of things that I just can't understand. And that comes down to coaching. Like, you know, these are consistent issues. Can't you just say to the line that goes out right after you score a goal, you say, you keep pressing. Do not, like, you know, there has to be some expectation management. And why can Buchnevich, who, yet, you know, Quinn early, he moves him down and they make a comment about like, oh, you know, his game's not where they want it to be. So maybe send a little message, see he's playing better, then puts him up. They haven't done that to Kreider as a manager at once. You know, outside of just saying, we're going to try Kreider on this line for a bit. Like, those two are, I can't believe I'm going to say this. At what point do you just say Colin Blackwell's been our best player every time he's on the ice? Why don't I just put him with Kako and Lafreniere and make them the first line if that's what's going to be? Like, you want to win the game, I understand. But at this point, like, it's nothing's changed. Unless you light that fire, nothing's going for the vet guys in the top six. So why not just do that? He's your best player. Why is it merit based for Buchnevich, who's at least was our best player to start? Then yeah, maybe fell off a bit. So then they had to give him the stick for a little bit, and then gave him the carrot again. What, like, you've tried everything else with Zibanejad. We're a quarter way into the season. Like, why is he still getting top line minutes? And this season, I'll let you take over in a sec, but I am one of Mika's biggest fans. I love the guy. I loved him when he was in on Ottawa. I was thrilled when we got him. I was convinced he was the next captain of this team. I can't unsee what I've seen from him this season. And I understand if you're coming off of a COVID, you know, and you just can't get up to speed and you're fighting it, but I don't see the fight I don't see the desire, man. Like, and I'm sorry, maybe that's an oversimplification from my couch, but just the post game comments, like, I don't see it. Like, and yeah, maybe he's a quiet, you know, insular guy who just keeps everything in and is just really struggling. But I would rather just see him totally try to change up his game and just be different instead of just constantly trying to make, you know, the perfect dagger hero play that he always tries to do. And he looked good in the Boston game. At least I thought he was going. And again, he was just ineffective, non-existent, slow to react and slow on the puck again. And it's enough. At what point? Like, there's so much wrong with this team right now.
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head with the, why is it merit-based for some players and not for others? And I know, I am part of the group that says ride your horses no matter how bad they're playing, but I don't think that this is the case for Mika Zibanejad. I really don't. Like, Panarin was able to figure it out after a slow start. Even Strom has played twice as better, you know, in the last few games than he played at the beginning of the season. Like, the players are getting better. Kako is getting better every game. Like, there's improvement. The inconsistency with Zibanejad is kind of alarming, because it's like, if you watched last night, you would swear that was game one of the NHL season for the New York Rangers. Now, if you watch him against the Boston Bruins, not a bad player. You'd be like, okay, you know, it's, you know, he had a tough night. There's nothing, you know, nothing you can do. We lost to, you know, a better team, and, you know, he just couldn't get anything going. He had no puck luck. But this is the thing. Like, we shouldn't be questioning game in and game out. You have to look at, you know, the entire season and see what Mika Zibanejad has done for this team. And it's nothing but inconsistency. And that's not what you want out of a leader. And you know what he's turned into? He's turned into Kreider. Some games you can see him and he's great, but a lot of the times you don't even notice him. You don't even know he's there. And last night was one of those games where you didn't even know he was there. I mean, why is he not on the bench giving up that third goal? Why is the camera not focused on him yelling up and down, you know, the bench? And like, I know after the game, he's like, this is not what we want. This is not the effort we need. You know, I need to be the first to look in the mirror and say, you know, and question my effort and question, you know, my work ethic. But at the same time, it's like, listen, dude, like, you're okay. You're allowed to have bad games, but you know, you need to be a leader. There needs to be someone screaming on that bench. There needs to be someone in that locker room screaming. And I don't care, you know, how bad you played. Mika Zibanejad, you have the reputation there. You have the leadership. You have, the merit of last year to kind of, you know, speak your opinion and raise your voice at these players, but you're not doing it. At least I don't know you're doing it. And there's no reports that he is doing it in the locker room. And the same goes for, you know, Trouba, like, you know, raise your voice, be a leader, start yelling. And I know Trouba got hurt, you know, he didn't come back for the third period, but this is not just the Devil's game. This is the entire season. And this game just seems to be the pinnacle for me in terms of, you know, what this season is now starting to represent.
Yeah. And listen, I had mentioned up top that the problems with this team are numerous. One, they're extremely unlucky right now. Their team-wide shooting percentage is abysmal. I think it's bottom three or bottom four or five in the league. So that's obviously not helping
them. Well, can I jump in there?
Two. Yeah, yeah.
Because I think, you know, their style of play is certainly not helping that. And
no, I agree.
When you have all three forwards on the same side of the ice and the puck gets reversed and the Devils have about 5 seconds to make a decision on what they want to do with the puck, of course they're going to be able to clear it out. Every chance is one and done, and we all collapse on the puck. We have four guys on the same side of the ice and then the weak side defenseman is already back up at the red line because he's like, well, there's certainly no one pressuring this guy, and you know, if I step up right here, it's an odd man rush the other way. So we're not teaching a right system for if you want to produce, you know, a consistent
Definitely.
Offense.
And the biggest thing is, how come when Lafreniere, Kako, and Strom are on the ice, that they get multiple kicks at the can, mm-hmm. multiple shots on goal, when every time KZB does the same thing, where Mika's off to the left, Kreider is, for God knows whatever reason, on the far side in the corner behind the net because he thinks Mika's going to try to cycle it, even though he's going for a shot on goal, and he's too stupid to realize, I should probably get below the goal line because if it squirts out, I can get on it. And Buchnevich is just trying to kind of tie up a stick somewhere off to the side or maybe get out on the far side. And every time it's one, like you said, it's one and it instantly gets batted. And now your three forwards who are in the offensive zone are now probably the furthest away from their own goal. And then it's a 3-on-2 back the other way or a 4-on-2, especially that one defender who's for the Devils or whoever is, you know, reads it and can get on his horse fast enough. It's the same thing. They get one shot from the side of the net and it's Mika and it's always into the low pad that gets kicked out. And then the whole team, that's the opposing team, has sprung the other way every time. It happened multiple times. It's frustrating. And it's like you said, it's just like, there just needs to be, why is Kreider just not in front of the net? Just not even concerned about reading the play. Just like, trust your line mates, you know, trust Buchnevich, trust me. Like, there's so much wrong with that. And it's like you said, it's always been like free flowing, whatever they want to do in the offensive zone. And it's great last year when their shooting percentages were super high. And, you know, obviously Panarin can do it because he's that type of player. And when Mika's feeling himself and confident, he can do it too. But now that it's not happening, you have to do something different. They just keep banging their head on the wall and they're not getting rewarded for it. And they're just wondering why.
And I feel like teams are giving them those opportunities because they know they're one and done. They know the Rangers shooting percentage is so low, so I might as well let them shoot from the boards, shoot from the outside, because I know when it squirts up and kicks out to the far side, we're going to win those battles because the Rangers have no in-zone presence. There's no, it's not like it's a 1-2-2. And when you have, you know, when you have sustained pressure in the offensive zone, you have all areas of the ice covered in terms of who, all right, so one player is, you know, if you have the boards, if you have the puck on the half wall, right, you have maybe one guy in the corner, you have the defenseman, that's an outlet pass, you have one guy maybe, you know, floating around the front of the net, and then you have the weak side defenseman, you know, if a shot goes wide, you know, he's able to go, you know, and retrieve the puck and keep it in on the other side. Like, for the New York Rangers, there's no net front presence. the guy in the corner is not moving. Like you got to move, like either come towards each other and do a scissor exchange, or, you know, maybe shoot around the net. And then the guy who is on the far side, you know, winger, you know, needs to either crisscross with them and come through the front of the net, something. There's got to be some sort of movement. All the Rangers do is they gather the puck, they have it on the half wall, they take a shot from the outside, or they kick it up to the point where they take a shot and there's zero people in front of the net. I mean, you saw the goals that they scored. The Buchnevich goal, you know, Blackwood couldn't see because there was someone in front of him. Hello? I mean,
yeah.
Like, isn't that amazing how goals work? I mean, the Devils scored because, you know, pucks were thrown out the front of the net and, you know, Seshirkin couldn't, you know, react quick enough because he's seeing the puck last second off the flex.
Yeah, Trouba redirects one accidentally off his skate and the next one gets tipped and changes course and there's nothing the goaltender can do. So I don't care if you've been as good as Blackwood was last night. You can beat him if you do those type of things. The Rangers do not. Like, Quinn is always talking about the hero plays and the pretty plays or whatever. Well, he talks about it quite a lot, but he doesn't seem to enforce it because his guys are still doing it, except the guys who are actually scoring, the bottom six, you know? I'm happy for Buchnevich, and I thought he was actually, of the him, Kreider's advantage at, he was better last night. So it's good that maybe Quinn understands, like, it's good to light a fire under him and get him going. Yeah, kudos to him for that. But at the same time, it's like, it's like we said, the biggest problem is that the Rangers are trying to do, if you're going to try to have it all the ways they want to have it, like they want to win games, but they also want to develop their youth, and there has to be some sort of at least merit-based structure to how they're approaching games. And there's not. Like, they just, you know, at this point, why don't you just, like, it's all of a sudden Kreider and Buchnevich and Meek are going to have like a behind the closed doors meeting where they're going to go to management and be like, we don't like Quinn if he benches us for a shift. He's never done it. Just say like, I'm putting, you know, the third line out against the top line. I want you to watch what they do. Like, yeah, fucking, you know what I mean? Like, you can do it without dressing guys down, or it's like, you know what? It's just, it's so weird. And I don't know what it is, because there are some guys that Quinn has no problem being hard with, but I don't, yeah. Like, is it too much reverence for the guys who were that leadership group when he came in, the Kreiders and the Mikas? Well, like, you know, I just don't get it.
He's coaching like this is a college team. And, you know, in college, you really do have to rely on your better players to, you know, put up the numbers. And if you look at, you know, college hockey team stats, there's usually a few players that have, you know, all the points. And then, you know, you have your role players. And, you know, I'm sure Quinn had, you know, did a great job, you know, feeding, you know, building a system where, you know, Jack Eichel, you know, is going to rack up all the points and you just, you know, ride him, you know, until, you know, until the last whistle of the, you know, the game, the final buzzer. But, you know, you can't do that in the NHL. The NHL doesn't work like that. You can't just ride your horses. I mean, look at Edmonton, man. You know, they have, you know, the best maybe 1-2 punch in the National Hockey League, and they still struggle to win hockey games. They're not dominant. You know, they're not a dominant team in the NHL. They're, you know, the upper echelon, and, you know, a little bit above a 500 team. Yeah, right now they're 9-8, exactly, with, you know, maybe the best 1-2 punch. You know, they're built like a college team. You know, you NHL takes four lines, and you know exactly, you have an identity. The lines have identities. There's a system in place that, you know, works, and the system needs to change against the opponent you're playing. I know we spoke about this at the beginning of the season, but, you know, I thought this season would be very interesting to see how teams build their system based on playing the same teams over and over and over again. You know, it's not like there's a West Coast trip where, you're never going to see this team again. So, you know, you're just going to play like a normal style and see if it works. This is like, their systems should be built for a team like Boston, who is a heavy hitting, you know, puck moving team that can counter instantaneously. Or there should be a team to help break the New York Islanders, you know, suffocation and their trap and the way they, you know, limit your scoring chances and don't let you, you know, get shots through the middle and stuff. Or, you know, a Philadelphia Flyers team, high octane offense, but might be able to, you might be able to take advantage of their, you know, defensive zone play. Even like the Washington Capitals, same thing with them. Pittsburgh, you know, their weakest point is their defensemen. So, you know, let's make them turn. Let's make their defensemen handle the puck and create turnovers. Like, these are things that should be discussed. And the Rangers have the same exact system every single game. And, you know, they seem to, you know, like there was light at the end of the tunnel with the Boston games. where, you know, they coughed up, you know, the first one, and then they lost the close second one. But you're like, okay, this team is like the best team in the league, and we're competing toe to toe with them defensively. Now, if we can just, you know, get the offense going, we're right there. And then they go and play the New Jersey Devils, who haven't played in weeks. And it was like, and Andy, you can answer this question for me.
Sure.
You know, it's so funny when the Rangers are playing good defense, everyone on Twitter is like, don't you think they need to be more creative in the offensive zone, and all this defensive play is really, hurting their, you know, offensive numbers? And it's like, that's a fair question. You know, that does sometimes happen. But what about last night? Rangers didn't sacrifice their defensive play for the, you know, for the offensive play, or the offensive play for the defensive play. We didn't have no play at all. We got outworked every zone on the ice. We didn't dominate. Maybe the second period you could say was good.
Yeah, that's it, really. And I would say the only good line last night was the Strom, Lafreniere, Kako line, and that's only because Kako is literally had his best. Every I say this all the time, he had his best game of the season. He's not getting rewarded for it, which sucks. But you know, I mean, at the same time, you look at him and Lafreniere pass the puck, and then Strom, they get it to Strom, and he does something stupid, and it's gone. And you know, I will give Strom credit. I think he wasn't one of our problems last night. You know, he was at least trying to push and create and do stuff, and he got trying to get pucks on net. So I appreciate it. But yeah, but here's the problem is that like Kako and Lafreniere for that should be insulated by our veterans. You know what I mean? And if he's not scoring, we should just at least be able to appreciate the fact that, you know what, it's like Kako is turning to an absolute monster, like away from the puck, in transition, like all these things. He's literally our best. He's the Rangers' best analytical player this year after being the worst last year. You know, amazing. But it, you know, it's a moot point because this team is losing, and you know, unless he's going to be on, they're going to make that the top line. And you know, I feel bad for Lafreniere. I think by looking at him, you can see he's deferring a bit. And you know, I mean, he's a guy, I think he's a guy that ultimately needs to drive his own line down the road. And I think he just right now, no matter what line he's on, he's just trying to fill in space and be a trigger man or take eyes away. And obviously that's, he wants his lines to be successful, but that's not going to help get him going at all. You know what I mean? Although him and Kako are developing a nice little chemistry. They're our best line when they're on the ice. They pitch the puck back and forth. They can find each other in tight spaces, which is great. So who knows? Maybe that, you know, that that'll probably be the best Rangers line for the next, God willing, next 10, 15 years, right? So, but yeah, it shouldn't be all on their shoulders now. It's almost like the fan base is so checked out from that top line doing anything, you know, especially now that with Panarin is out, although I assume he'll be back. He should be back for Thursday, and they're going to need him. But, you know, I keep saying it, there's so much wrong with this team. They're unlucky. They've been unlucky with injuries, but they're also, their effort has been a problem, and their ability to start games has been a problem, and close out games has been a problem, and their offense has been a problem. And it's just like the fact that the easiest way out of this whole thing would just be to harp on one thing and keep building from there. Even if it was a slower build, they could have done it, but they just, if they can commit to one thing, but immediately forget to do the thing they were doing right before that step, then it's moot. And that's a coaching thing. It's absolutely a coaching thing. And I think no matter what happens, Quinn will not get canned in season. I don't think that'll happen. I do think that at this point you have to imagine at least management is looking close and thinking about that, you know, maybe they're thinking a little bit more about who's going to replace him eventually. Cause I could see them if this season just ends up as it's currently going with a lot of, like, you know, they maybe win, I don't know, let's say, oh, there's how many games are left? It's a 56 game season. They've played 15 games, right?
They played 14 games. So
14 games. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's 42 games remaining.
Yeah. You know, if they win 16 of or 18 of those remaining games, it's like, yeah, I think they could maybe look to make a change in the off season. I don't think he's going anywhere for now, but you development, especially if you're going to be the youngest team in the league and it's development time. I don't know. Is there an excuse? Like, the Ottawa Senators are a worse team on paper than the Rangers and are also very young, and yet they had a nice 5-goal comeback against the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know? So they can at least score. So, you know, yes, all those teams are giving up 4 or 5 goals a night, but the Rangers gave up, what, 3 goals, you know, and they've given up 4 or 5 goals at various points. It's just, I see a lot and hear a lot of excuses online. And listen, I don't want this team to be perfect, but they're just the things that should, that you, like you said, James, the things that shouldn't be even an issue are an issue, and that's a problem.
And now, the starting lineup for your Blue Notes podcast, Tom Franklin and the man called Wags. Hello and welcome to Blue Notes. I am one half of your Blue Notes team, Tom Franklin, joined by my teammate, the man called Wags. And we are your home for St. Louis Blues coverage on the Hockey Podcast Network. And that includes expert analysis, whether it's at Enterprise Center.
When you're fighting for spots for the playoffs, 1 or 2 points could make the difference. And we'll be looking back at games like tonight here at Enterprise Center as lost opportunities.
Or at home.
Penalties, that was a big, big piece. You know, you're wearing down some of your best players because they're out on the ice for so many penalty kill opportunities. Just a complete breakdown.
Blues first round pick, Jake Neighbors.
Braden Shan texted me, and then the head coach, Craig Berube, reached out as well, and Ryan O'Reilly as well. And then the next day on day 2 of the draft, Tarasenko FaceTimed me. So that was pretty cool. So.
And we're the only hockey podcast in the Hockey Podcast Network to have a Hawaiian hockey correspondent, the Hawaii Blues fan, Guy Bensing.
In true Dan Kelly fashion, Dan Kelly says, F you, Keaton. I know who's the starting pitcher for Game 4 of the World Series. You damn well know who the starting goalie is for Game 4 of the NHL season. And then walked away.
And we have a musician, too. Not only is he responsible for this fat beat you're listening to right now, but he has also performed absolute works of art.
And it seems to me you played the game with a candle to your rear, never wanting to leave the ice when the pain set in.
So check out Blue Notes wherever you get your podcasts from. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I'm Tom Franklin, reminding you to not be a chump, listen to Blue Notes, and always play to the whistle.
A reminder that you can follow Blue Notes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Blue Notes Pod. I'm the voice of the Blues, Tom Calhoun.
And it's not like our young players that we're bringing up that we just drafted are busts. And, you know, it's our top players. It's the players that have been here that are you know, causing issues. It's our coaching staff that is, you know, I think causing issues by not treating everyone the same, you know, up and down the roster. I mean, say what you want about Tortorella, but the guy held the better players to a higher standard, which is almost what you have to do at this point, because, you know, Torts was like, well, you know, if you're going to make all this money and you're going to make, you know, and you're going to get all this ice time, well, I'm going to hold you to a higher standard. Where Quinn is the complete opposite. He's like, well, I'll give you guys the benefit of the doubt because, you know, you are who you are, and you've been here longer than I have, and you know, you need to be the leader. And it's like saying this stuff and allowing this stuff to manifest and happen is really a huge problem, in my opinion. And if it wasn't the problem, then what is? Like, if Quinn isn't the problem, then what is? Our leadership or our veterans? Well, then maybe we should ship them off because our bottom six is playing well. I'd rather. You know, we can get a lot for Mika Zibanejad, I'm sure. We can get a lot for Chris Kreider. I mean, not anymore, but I'm just saying, like, you know, there was even rumors. I would have taken a second round pick last year for Chris Kreider. And still right now, I don't know if you'd get anything for him, but, you know, I'd take anything at this point. And the guy's a nothing. A draft pick right now would improve, you know, the future of this team. His play certainly will not. He's not going to get better. Like, this is it. This is peak Chris Kreider. He's not going to get any better than this. So what you're seeing right now is Chris Kreider. This is his
NHL career in a nutshell. He's not going to next year become some 50, you know, 30 to 50 goal scorer. You know, you saw, you know, Mika Zibanejad, you know, as a guy who always had Henrik Lundqvist, you know, as being the voice in the locker room and leader and the face of the franchise. Now Mika Zibanejad is that guy. And is he crippling? Or if it's COVID, then he really shouldn't be on the ice because, you know, if it's COVID, which I completely don't blame him, COVID affects people differently.
It looks like he's just slower and it doesn't look like he's not moving his feet. It's just he doesn't have the same burst in a step. And either he's fallen off that much and at the age of, what, 28, 27, which I don't think is the case.
I don't think so either.
COVID definitely seems, but the thing is that it's like, I understand it's like he feels like he can play and he doesn't want to blame it on that. But
at the same time, as an organization, you need to step in because this is not good for his mental health. This isn't good for the locker room.
They could even say, like, Quinn could come out tomorrow and say, like, we've sat down with Mika and we do think it's hurting his overall performance. So what we're going to do going forward, you could even say we're going to try to limit his minutes and use him in shorter bursts so he can get up to speed. That might honestly help him if it's just like he's not on the ice as much and he can just play in short spurts where he can give it everything so he's not always a half step too slow in the puck. He's turning like a boat right now. It's very weird because he used to be, you know, and you can still see that his brain can still process the things he was trying to do and was doing successfully last year, like deft little passes to start his linemates on a breakout or to cycle the puck. He's still doing that stuff, but it's just his overall, that he had that extra something in his step last year that he could just pull away so easily. And he was so fast last year. And this year he looks slow as molasses. And I think it is COVID, but the problem is that if you want to be proud and you don't want to acknowledge that it's hampering you or whatever, or you just don't want it to be an excuse and you still want to help your team, I get it. But at the same time, you have to understand, then that means you're going to have to wear the brunt of the criticism when you can't perform up to what your standards are. And it's a shitty situation. I feel bad for him, but that is what it is. Like, and that's, like you said, the organization could step in tomorrow and say, like, it's clear that he is still dealing with the after effects of this. We have so many players in this league that are still dealing with it, you know, and it's not just him, because there are guys around the league that have either gotten off to terribly slow starts who had COVID or aren't even playing. Jonathan Toews and Marco Rossi, you know, these guys, like, you could say it's clear it's still affecting him. So we've consulted our physicians and we think the best way to do this is try to limit his minutes, shorter spurts to help him get his like full win, you know, whatever you have to do. Like, you can concoct some BS answer to like help him save face if you want to, but it's just not being done. Like, I just don't. Yeah.
Right. Until they address it as the issue, we can't even look at it as the issue, because if the organization's saying that he's fine and he's saying that he's fine, well, then he's just an incompetent player and he has really digressed over one season. I doubt that that's the case. I really do. I don't think, you know, unless he came into camp, or not really a camp, but like, you know, the quote unquote camp that they had this year, tremendously out of shape and is going to take 20 games to get back into it. Then, you know, that's a character flaw. That's a character issue. I mean, that's not a leader. That's certainly not someone that I want, you know, wearing a letter, you know, for my team. So, you know, looking at this situation, you know, I hope there is some sort of, I almost hope that it's COVID, because then I can see, you know what, he needs some, you know, rehab time. He needs to, you know, gain his wind and his confidence back. And, you know, for a guy that plays such a, you know, quick burst, you know, shoot up the ice, you know, stop on the dime, you know, fake out the defenseman, get shots on net, you know, get to the net. You don't see any of that this year. And, you know, you hope that it's not just a natural digression where he's no longer effective in this league. And, you know, luckily we're not tied to any huge contract with him. But as of right now, I'm not confident in signing Zibanejad at all to anything long term if this is not COVID related. And if it is, then, you know, maybe he needs a full summer, you know, on the ice training and, you know, building up to what he once was. And, you know, if it is COVID and it affected him this way, you know, then that's fine. Like, I'm perfectly fine with saying, you know, this season's a wash because COVID really affected our better players. We didn't have a camp for our younger players, but, you know, that I would have been fine with that, but that doesn't seem the case right now. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, factors that are at play. And, you know, Quinn, I feel like everyone's so quick to give Quinn credit for developing Kako and developing Buchnevich and, you know, getting the most out of the bottom six. It's like, is that really Quinn, or is it just like an effort thing? Are they just trying harder? It's not like Blackwell's skating, you know, through players and juking out defensemen and getting pucks to the net. It just seems like he's just moving his feet and creating chaos. And you didn't see that last night out of, you know, our better players. And another, you know, stat line that, you know, proves how, you know, how much chaos you provide, and especially the offensive zone, is that we didn't draw one single penalty last night. Not one.
No.
And like, that's alarming.
Yeah. I mean, I did see the refs were swallowing their whistles for a lot of things both ways last night. They were going to let them play, especially because I figured, you know, if you have a team coming off COVID, maybe they're like, listen, like, the Devils are going to be a half step slow, so we're not going to call. But the Rangers didn't. I can't even get mad, because I thought the Rangers ultimately did nothing in terms of to draw penalties. Right?
Yeah.
They didn't do a damn thing. Like, they didn't even try to, like, and the few times they tried to grind teams down, you know, the Devils down their zone, it's just always the same. It's a lot of perimeter passing and not enough movement and not enough driving and not enough, like, pressuring and getting them to collapse in. They just kind of, like, let them try to get up to contest the shots at the point and just move to the other guy, and then someone else tries to contest him. They just keep moving it around. No one makes that move drive to the inside. There's not enough. Yeah, there's just not enough movement overall. It's just too much standing still. And then, unfortunately, the only guys that are trying to move are got least skilled players, are Blackwells and our DiGiuseppes and our Howdens. At least they're trying, but they don't have the natural skill and vision to do what the top line does. But, you know, at the same time, they're getting better. They're getting rewarded for less now because they're putting in more effort, you know. And it's, I think Valiquette said it last night, and it rings true always. It's like, you know, if you don't have any will, you're not going to win, and it's going to trump skill. Will trump skill. Like, you have to, maybe you have to put in a little bit more will, but those are the guys that are the only ones who are getting rewarded right now. You know, because even I see the will out of Kako, and hell, even I see Lafreniere trying. It's clear, I think, you know, maybe he's just still getting his, trying to figure out how he's the most effective at the NHL level and what he can do. He's getting heavier on the puck, which I like. It's clear it's going to be slower for these two guys, but it seems that the slower it is, it's going to help make them better players in the long run. So I'm willing to be patient with them, because you can see what they're becoming, because you see the will is there. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I don't have any time for, you know, guys who feel like their season is slipping away and now they're checked out. And, you know, not to pivot, but it looks, you know, we're, the Rangers are the worst team in the East right now. The second worst team is another team that has a bunch of veterans who look checked out, in the Buffalo Sabres. So, you know, and here.
Well, I had a question for you before we move on to, like,
yeah.
Now, I do want to actually get into where the Rangers stand amongst our division, but
yes,
I have a question. The last night, I mean, it's pretty glaring, and it sucks to say, but it also is very nice to say, Andy. And you know, how much did the Rangers miss Keandre Miller last night?
Oh, so much. And you know what? Let me, before we do anything, I want to give Hayek a lot of credit last night. I thought he was probably one of our best defenders last night.
Yes.
Betetto had his moments where he was struggling. I honestly, I don't even think Smith was that bad. Like, they all had their moments, but, you know, and obviously they were riding Fox a lot of minutes, which out of necessity, but it's just like, they clearly missed, you know, it's just the fact that they're in this position where it's like, our best players are the kids again and again. It's just, you know, I really do think, like, I obviously think it's great that the Rangers have such a litany of young talent, and maybe it was destined to be like this, because it's like, it's just an aberration. Like, the Rangers should have been Detroit last year, but they just happened to sign Panarin, who had, like, the best year of his career in a Hart caliber season. And Mika was just, you know, possessed, because you remember, outside of those two, no, not, you know, and Strome, just be from, you know, inso facto, the rest of the team wasn't scoring, you know? So, but obviously the regret that, you know, the regression that was going to happen anyway, but, you know, with the youngsters with another year under their belt, I guess people really figured it should be enough. But, you know, if your top line players can't insulate the rest of your group, then you're done in this league. You know what I mean? Because it's just not, it'll never be enough. You can't just expect one goal, right, chippy goal a game from your bottom six and your top. And then maybe if you're lucky, you know, the Rangers are capped out at two goals a night right now, honestly, the way they're going. Maybe one, someone in their top six gets lucky. Yeah, someone in their top six gets lucky, and then their bottom six has to grind away just to get chip one in. And that's literally it every night. And that's just not good enough. You know, this should, like, the Rangers should be happy that they finally have a bottom six that are, Colin Blackwell has been great for this team. You know, it's like, he did such a good job. They were saying it on the broadcast, and it's true. They had him on Hughes, and Hughes did, you know, fuck all last night. He couldn't do anything because he had Blackwell all over him. It's just like, I just don't understand why, and, you know, again, a Kreider, a Zibanejad, why they can't just say, I am not putting the puck in the net right now. But, like, every time this person, you know, picks someone, every time Sharon Govich or Gusev or whoever tries to do anything in our zone, I'm going to be on him like white on rice. And it's just, you know, it's just the concept. We don't have the answers right now. We need to look at ourselves. We need to learn to hate losing. Like, you shouldn't have to learn to hate losing. But the way they're framing it is like that the rest of the team and the youngsters need to, like, learn that. They're not the problem. You're the problem. Like, call it for what it is that our veterans have to change something, have to do something different, because the kids aren't the problem and the bottom six are not the problem. You're the problem. You know what I mean? And it sucks, right, because you don't want to, like, I understand it's like you win as a team and you lose on a team. You never want to put it on anyone, especially your best friends on the team if they're your line mates. But it's like, it's you guys. It's not, you know, you're not given the benefit of the doubt. You've been in the league long enough. You know, you're not scoring. That's great. If you're not scoring, though, you shouldn't be, like, Kreider shouldn't be helping the other team score an empty net goal because he's an idiot and can't, like, understand how to, like, that I probably shouldn't put it in this, you know, make a low percentage lob to this area when you're trying to get a goal with the goaltender pulled. You know what I mean? It's just that type of stuff. And it's always the same stuff.
Right. And, you know, I think all this kind of builds up into, you know, a couple questions. And I think the first question is, do the Rangers need a coaching change? And then part two of that is, is there a coach out there that you'd like to see coach the New York Rangers? And
keep going.
No, go ahead.
No, well, first of all, like, obviously I have my long-term sights on different coaches, but honestly, I would not mind if Quinn was removed. Their defense has been better this year because you have a really good X's and O's guy on the bench in Jacques Martin, who has a pretty sterling reputation as a head coach. You know, his teams of, you know, their late 90s and the early aughts, and when he was coaching, and he's been behind the bench for Pittsburgh for a number of years. He's actually a good strategy guy, and he's a good systems guy, which Quinn is not. And the one thing he was responsible for the season for them until last night has been good. They've been good defensively. You know, they have limited chances. Like, they've had lapses, but that's not a structure issue. That's an effort and consistency issue. Correct. Right.
Yeah. Last night was not an X's and O's issue.
I would love to see what he could come up with to, like, make it, you know, because that's the thing is that I see, you know, the best teams, it's just like, whether it's Tampa or it's Boston, I don't see a lot of free form from them. I see them mostly having structure all over the ice. And what they can do is they can shift it, where if two guys do something, the other one knows I can still help maintain the structure of what we need to ultimately do to funnel pucks towards the net or get looks. Whereas the Rangers, when you see guys start scissoring and crisscrossing and trying to cycle, and then the defenseman's like, "All right, I gotta go over here because it might get lit." It's just too much thinking, and it just, all it takes is like a blind backhand whack off the boards, and then it springs the other team the other way because there's no structure. They have no way to contain pucks, and it's just, yeah, I mean, they need structure. They need, especially offensively right now. And that's the thing, is that they were given too much carte blanche, I think, last season because Panarin's an artist and Mika was feeling his oats, so they could do whatever they wanted. And that Quinn just thinks that's the status quo now. Whereas you have, you know, I think the best teams, they understand, everyone understands what their role is and how, you know, how they can best do it. And if they see a guy like a Marchand or a Pasternak start to, like, use natural skill to, like, get to the inside or chase nets, they know that they always have to be ready to do, or, You know, the Rangers never send the puck back to the point. I feel like every other team does, and we never do it.
No,
and I don't care if they get blocked. Like, chop a guy down. Make him. You know, I hate to say this, but like, you know, make it so a guy doesn't come out, you know, for the third period because he was forced to block a shot. You know what I mean? Now they're down in defense. Yeah,
or he takes a bad penalty,
just trying to clear it. Yeah,
yeah. Or he takes it. You know, a shot off the foot, and you know now he's hesitant to throw his body out there the next time you shoot it. I mean, there's all these little things that they can do to improve upon like their offensive play and sustaining pressure. But you know, looking at my question was, sure. You know, is there a coach out there that you'd like to see? Obviously. You know, I think a coaching change now is clearly a must. And I don't necessarily think that coaching change is going to be the difference maker between the Rangers turning over a new leaf and winning games and making the playoffs. I don't know if that's what it will take, but it certainly can't hurt us right now because the New York Rangers right now are a better team than 4-7 with 11 points. The Rangers should have at least the minimum 15 points right now in the standings, which would put them right there for a playoff spot. And we only have ourselves to blame for not being in that position. We are not just a rebuilding team. We are a team that can be competitive in this division. And right now, just have mental collapses, lack of effort. It's all the stuff that you don't want to see out of a team. And, you know, and effort has nothing to do with rebuilding. Effort should always be there, regardless of what stage of the process you are in terms of, you know, building a franchise. And, you know, you do look at Buffalo and you see what they can turn into. And, you know, you do look at like the Washington of old, you know, where they let their stars kind of do whatever they want, but they never really built a system that was built upon structure and not that free flowing offense where Ovechkin can do whatever hell he wants. We're not really going to get back and play defense because, you know, we win a ton of hockey games during the regular season, but when it comes playoff time and we're forced to play defense, you know, we're always playing catch up. And, you know, that's why I think Washington failed for all those years. You know, if you look at Pittsburgh, yeah, they were an X's O team and everyone always counts them out. But they sometimes always be the sneaky team that makes in because they do the dirty stuff. And Sullivan does teach them the X's and O's and allows them to have the creativity at the same time because, you know, they have a leader in the locker room. They know that balance. They know, you know, they know they're going to get called out if they're not, you know,
they know how to hang on in games they clearly have no business being in. And, that, you know, like you said, a lot of that is that they're an experienced team that just knows how to do that and doesn't panic and understands like, okay, like here's where we can get away with pressing. And yeah. Oh, also I got some even better breaking news out of Rangers practice. Trouba is out 4 to 6 weeks with an upper body injury. And Jack Johnson is practicing for the first time in 3 weeks. So, you know, don't worry. Help is on the way, James. He will not.
When it rains,
oh, and also Keandre is also not practicing, but Panarin is. So, yeah. So, you know, I don't know if this means Johnson will be in versus. Oh, man. I'm just trying to think. Probably the worst in the NHL as stands because it's literally Adam Fox and, you know, a bunch of guys who are bottom pairing to seventh defenseman on most teams, which, you know, maybe I'd say Lindgren could be a good third pairing guy on a great team, but oh boy, yeah, it's going to be real rough.
Well, I have another question for you too.
Sure.
You know, obviously we addressed the coaching issues and what, you know, we think needs to be done and what will be done in the future, because I think we all know Quinn is not going to be the team or the coach of the team if, heaven forbid, they lift the Stanley Cup again in my lifetime.
Oh,
but
never mind. Miller is practicing. Sorry.
Oh, my God. Right, thank God.
That's good.
No, that's fine. You can interrupt me with that news anytime. You know, looking at, you know, our leadership, right, our veterans, where do you see our leadership and veterans? And when I say that, I mean the Zibanejads, the Kreiders, the Stroms. You know, Panarin has, you know, performed here in New York, and he's been, you know, he's not really a captain leader, but he is a leader in terms of his play on the ice. I mean, he dictates the play. He, you know, drives offense, and, you know, he had a couple slow start to the season, And, you know, he was able to figure it out. And then he gets hurt, unfortunately, yeah. which slows us down. But, you know, are the New York Rangers going to have to look for a new, you know, not like a star, but like a new leader? Are we going to bring one in, or are we going to have to wait until our Lafreniere's and Kako's fully develop and wait for that type of leadership to, you know?
I was thinking that last night is like, because I think Rangers fans were under the impression that they could, this team could somehow compete in the next 2 years. And, you know, so maybe not necessarily when Kako and Lafreniere are peak of their powers, but they're like, at least had wet their feet in the league and they can contribute, you know, meaningful middle six to top 6 minutes. And then you could still have, you know, maybe hell, even maybe one of them on the top line with Panarin and co. But the more it looks like it, it just seems that I think, you know, if you have to be fair in your valuation, especially is what guys are going to cost, you know, I think this changes a lot of things, you know. So you have to, listen, I had mentioned it up top. We know a guy like Jack Eichel is upset and, you know, we don't know what's going on with him because between him, Taylor Hall and Jeff Skinner, or, you know, all their guys, they just have nothing to show for what's going on. So I don't know what's going on there. So that might be another problem. But, you know, you don't know what type of moves the team will explore in the offseason. They need a lot of those established NHL pieces, which they don't have. They have a lot of high end and a lot of high end promising pieces and a lot of low end, you know, plug in bottom six pieces, but they obviously lack those middle six guys that are pretty much you could argue like the most stabilizing part of any lineup. You know what I mean? Cause you're better off being like the Islanders and having a bunch of middle six tweeners who can at least attend to their duties. Right. Than having like being a big donut like the Rangers are, you know? So especially if the top half of your donut has nothing on it, no sprinkles, no, they're giving you no flavor right now. Right. So yeah, I mean, I do think this team is going to reevaluate what this means, because I mean, you know, like I said, this really changes my opinion of Zibanejad, at least in terms of should he wear a letter for this team one day, or at least, you know, wear the letter. You know, now maybe they are more inclined to wait until a Lafreniere or a Kako or whoever, or a Miller, whoever steps up is ready. Because, yeah, I mean, Kreider, unfortunately, that contract is looking borderline unmovable unless they retain a lot. You know, and I don't know what if the Heat even want to go or would waive his no trade clause. But, it's clearly most of the answers they seek are currently outside of this organization right now. I don't know if they have the stomach to really wait until Kako and Lafreniere are 24, 25 years old. This team is not, I don't think they have the appetite to wait another 4 years to get back into the playoffs, you know? So I guess the question is, at some point, do they start dealing from their prospect pool, which has a litany of very promising prospects and some of their other players, you know? Do they start trying to get some immediate help? Those guys who can plug in, and hopefully by the time they're done building, maybe two seasons, they're ready to go to war in the playoffs. But as it stands right now, it's just, Strome, I can't see long for this team. After this, I'm really doubting Zibanejad's and their long-term plans and what they want to pay, especially because you remember, you know, the negotiations with his agent, who is his brother, last time were kind of drawn out and it was kind of tough. And I think he's going to want more money than he's going to get, especially after the Rangers have been spooked by his play this year, you know? So,
I have another question for you too.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm going to get into a hypothetical here. And I want you to hear me out, and I want you to keep an open mind. You know, I know you're not a closed-minded person. I think you'll hear me out here, and you won't shun me on this proposal. No. Okay. All right. Well, I have to first set it up with a question for you. Okay.
Okay.
Mika Zibanejad, his final year of his contract before he becomes an unrestricted free agent, is 21 and 22. In that year. So he's 2 years left. He has this year and next year. Okay. Do you see him with the New York Rangers after that final season of his contract?
No, I don't. I really don't. I don't see him wanting to take less. You know, I don't see him. Whatever whatever his failings this year that the Rangers might try to hold against him, you know, barring a bounce back, a total bounce back. Yeah, at this point, it's kind of hard to see that. I think the Rangers were unsure just based on his age prior to this season, you know, with how much. But I think especially what they're seeing in terms of, you know, what they want from him to help lead this team out of the hole. I don't know, man. I don't really think so.
Okay, so now I'm going to set with that, with your answer, it makes sense. I have another question for you. Would you be willing to trade for Evgeny Malkin, who is also in the same boat? And, you know, I think for the Pittsburgh Penguins, it's an opportunity to, because there have been rumors of moving Malkin prior to this season. And you know, if, you know, are the Penguins willing to go a different direction? Trade Mika Zibanejad for Evgeny Malkin. He makes 9.5 and Mika's in the 5.3 range. So it's a little bit more on the cap, but maybe we can possibly get, you know, a pick, a later round pick, like maybe, I don't know, fifth round for eating, you know, a little bit more of that contract, and maybe give Pittsburgh an opportunity to go for it next year by removing a little bit of cap space. You're swapping centers, essentially. You're swapping your number two center, essentially, for our number one center on paper. Do you think they go for something like that?
You know, I'm also torn on that, because if you had asked me this question last year, I would obviously say yes. But, you know, Malkin is a guy who has been struggling. He's already 34 years old. So, you know, by the time that's up, it's like he's going to be on the, you know, closer to 40 than he is 30. Yeah, man, just because of the age, I don't know if I want to do that.
His contract is done after next season. So you're only married to him for another year after this season.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that based on his performance so far this season, how he's starting to look, and if you look at his numbers, it looks like he is on the downward slope, that, like, I don't even know how much longer, you know. I think he's still a first line player, but it's just, you know, he's been so inconsistent the last couple of years and just also injury prone. Yeah, I don't know. I just, like I said, if he was 1 year younger and he was maybe off to a better start, I'd probably be more confident in that. But right now, it's definitely not the worst idea, especially if you're like, Zibanejad's not in our long-term plans. You know, but at the same time, it's just, I don't know if, you know, if we, even if this swap happens in this offseason, I just don't know, you know, maybe, I don't, you know, if you ask me if Mika bounces back next season with Pittsburgh, and you have Malkin and the Rangers, who performs better? I don't know. I'm not 100% confident saying that would be Evgeny Malkin, if that makes any sense. But
okay, I'm just saying that because I think it brings a bona fide star to the Rangers, and a guy mm-hmm. who, you know, he is Russian, so he'll earn the respect of, you know, a lot of, you know, our players are Russian. You know, we have a lot of Europeans and stuff like that. So, and it's a guy who's, he's a legitimate center. He's not a center that's going to win, you know, 13% of his faceoffs like, you know, Mika Zibanejad last night. You know, he's a guy that's going to win faceoffs, be a voice and a presence in the locker room that will, you know, hopefully demand respect. He's going to be playing in a contract year next year. So, you know, he's going to be looking at, and he's 34, so he'll be 35 next year. And I would imagine he's going to want to continue his career. And then you have a guy that like Zibanejad who, You know, before seeing this season, you know, I had my questions about him. He's very injury prone, which Malkin is also. But, you know, I don't really see, you know, how we're able to move. I don't know if we're going to be able to move Zibanejad or should we move Zibanejad? You know what I mean? It's like, now this is the question. It's like, you said you don't see Zibanejad playing after the 21-22 seasons for the New York Rangers. So therefore, I would imagine you would want to trade him, and you're gonna, what are you actually going to get for him? Because if this play continues, you're really not going to get that much for him. And I'm saying if this play continues, Evgeny Malkin might be the best available option that you get, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And Yeah, I don't know. I think a part of me just hopes there is some, even if it's a guy who's maybe not as promising as Zibanejad was peak of his powers. And listen, I don't know if all of a sudden the flip is, you know, a switch is going to go off and he's not going to feel the after effects of COVID and just be right back off to where he was.
I hope so.
Before.
I hope we're not considering this.
Yeah. Yeah. I obviously hope that's the case too. But, you know, I just, like I said, I think, honestly, I've been, from what little I've gleaned right now, I think I think Penguins fans feel the same way about Malkin we feel about Zibanejad right now, because I think that's how bad it's gotten there. You know, both same thing, kind of checked out, inconsistent, costing his team with dumb, boneheaded plays. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I agree from at least trying to retain value standpoint, that might be the best you can get in terms of overall top value, but I think a part of me is like, when I look at this team, I think a part of me leans to maybe you try to steer clear and maybe move Zibanejad for lesser assets, but maybe more numerous. Maybe you can get a guy who's got a promise, but a lot of question marks, who is younger, you know, guys more in that 25 to 30 range, you know, but again, it's there's a lot going on that. We don't know how is Zibanejad going to kick out of this. Is he going to look worse? Is this it? Is he inexplicably falling off, or is he just, because it's weird. You see guys that there are plenty of guys that like in their, you know, late 20s kind of have struggles, and then all of a sudden they'll like have a really good season, kick out of it, like a Bobby Ryan type. Like this stuff happens. It's just, it's hard to know. But yeah, and this season's so weird. So I think, ultimately, to answer most of our questions, I think one of the biggest reasons, I think the Rangers are going to stand pat on both the coach and then maybe in terms of some moves, although I wouldn't be surprised if they try to move a Strome before the deadline or something, is that it's just, yeah, I don't know, with COVID and everything and the circumstances, I think lots of teams are going to punt, whereas in other seasons they'd feel more heat from either top down ownership management to do something, where they're all like, well, it's a different season. It's, you know, we've never had something like this before, even as hollow as that may ring, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think a lot of the questions that we've been asking all podcast long, it can only be answered once again with time, and we will see how everything plays out. And it's, you know, it's going to be a roller coaster season. I hope our stars can figure it out, that we're not, you know, looking at what we're going to get for Zibanejad or anybody else. You know, hopefully we can string together a couple wins and kind of turn the tide and go the other way. Hopefully this loss was an eye-opening experience for a lot of our players. And, you know, again, we have a game on Thursday against a very good Philadelphia Flyers team who also, like the Devils, is affected by COVID. So an opportunity to take advantage and get 2 points from a team that you might not expect to get 2 points from. So, and we'll be, you know, right back here next week, tuning in, and hopefully we got a better song to sing as the New York Rangers face the Philadelphia Flyers on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.